Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, how we doing? So it sounds like, even though we got a lot of rain today, we got a lot. It doesn't rain at camp. Okay. So it was just really humid. Now I do buy that. Camp has a really good sprinkler system. And has all of these very, very tasty water options, clearly, for all of you. If you want to drink out of the lake, I don't recommend it. Okay. Hey, first of all, shout out to Sydney in the back for playing church clap. I was like, that got me like off, because now listen, I realize the camp staff is probably over that song at some point, but here's the thing, like, I came in fully prepared to wear like a jacket, because I come in here and it is like 12 degrees below zero in this chapel. It's so cold. And then she hit that music and then all of y'all start dancing like maniacs, and I was in on it too. And then we like raised the temperature like 75 degrees in this room, so I don't even need the jacket. So thanks for getting it nice and like cozy in here for us. But I appreciated dancing along with you guys to that one. Hey. And then I want to embarrass a couple of people. So in the very, very back is my wife, Amy. Just raise your hand. There you are. And then sitting next to Amy is my son, Ryan, who's in the back. so they came up to hang out here with us for the rest of the week. So I'm glad to have them up here with us. So let's do a little bit of review. You guys should be used to this by now. First word, ask. Second word, blessing. Third word, two. Fourth word, love. All right. Somebody tell me where exit number two is. Okay, somebody tell me where exit number one is. All right, reach up. Okay. All right, we're good and loose. All right, good deal. Hey, let's, here's a heads up. So this is, number six, right? Is this word number five tonight? Five? Okay. So this is word number five. Tomorrow is word number six. Then tomorrow evening. So this is just kind of like a heads up. Tomorrow evening, this is when things start to get interesting, because after we've gotten halfway, then we're going to start pulling people to, I won't say compete, but we're going to bring you up here on the stage. And we're going to give you an opportunity to win something and give us the words while possibly being distracted doing something else. So that's all I'm going to say about it. But we won't start that till tomorrow evening. So just keep your brains moving. Keep working. All right. Let's get into it. Let's not waste any more time here. All righty. Pick up where we left off. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're going to read it. It's a lot. But we're just going to zero in on another word here. But let's start in verse 14. Everybody with me? All right. Verse 14, James chapter 2. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anybody? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, somebody may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have any good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. I'm putting a very sarcastic read on this. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that without faith, that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac at the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So he was even called a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Woo! Got a lot going on there. James brings us right back to where we were last night, where we said, if we hear God's word and don't do what it says, what's the point? And we use examples. If I read how to be a great basketball shooter, but I never picked up a basketball and went to the gym and started shooting, who cares? If I read a bunch of books on what it was like to hit a golf ball but never picked up a club and took a swing at it, who cares? So if I hear God's word and I don't do any of the things that it says, who
cares?
Thank you. Now, this time he says, what good is following Jesus if you don't show it by your actions? He tells us if we don't have a faith that moves us to do something, then our faith is what? Dead. It's dead. And something that is dead is inactive. It is without life. It is without breath. There's no life in it. So it only seems appropriate that our first question is always,
what?
What's our first? And so it's do part two. So we kind of threw a little curveball at you. So it's do part two, because James is coming back and picking this up. So it's like the sequel. It's do part two. What's the greatest sequel of all time? What is it? What is it?
Cars
2? Okay. Max, it's what?
Rocky
2. Okay, Rocky 2. In the very, very back in the purple shirt. Across the Spider-Verse. My man with the Bucky's hat on.
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick. Okay. Okay, I'm here to inform you, you are all wrong. The greatest sequel is The Empire Strikes Back. There will be no discussion. That is the greatest sequel of all time. Here's what makes something a great sequel. Here's what makes something a great sequel. Because we're talking about do part two. Think of this as even a greater sequel to the do that we read about last night. Because a great sequel raises the stakes from the first movie. So in the first Star Wars movie, you just kind of get this introduction to everybody. And they all go on this like journey, and then Luke Skywalker blows up the Death Star, and then everybody has a celebration, and everybody gets a medal except Chewbacca because they're against Wookiees, I don't know. And so we're just like, yay! And then we get to this, and it raises the stakes because you find out a bunch of stuff about people in that. And at the end of this movie, you find out a really, really important piece of information about who Darth Vader is. Now, to a generation who grew up watching it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that was not a big moment for you all. Because you're like, yeah, so what? Darth Vader's his dad. I saw him. He got his arms all chopped off and he fell in a volcano. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Spoiler.
It's the spoiler.
It's the spoiler-er. The spoiler-er has returned this year. Okay, all right, stick with me. Stick with me. Stick with me. Shh. Hey, stick with me. But Empire Strikes Back, when it first came out, raised the stakes because nobody knew what was going on with Darth Vader. And then you found out what was going on with him, and that made, whoa, that was crazy. Now, I heard this one. Go to the next one. That's worthy. That's a worthy sequel. All right. Now, this is why this was a worthy sequel, because it raised the stakes of the game. We got introduced to who Miles Morales was in the first movie, and then they went to this one, and then they added some stakes. And then Ryan and I, when we went and saw this in the theater, remember how this one ends? I'm going to spoil it again. Don't spoil it? Okay. Here's what I will say. When it ended, it ends at a spot where you're not ready for it to end. And when it ended, the theater that Ryan and I saw it in, there were kids from my school, kids from my class who were sitting on the other side of the theater. We might want to watch the microphone on this one. You might want to mute me because I'm going to yell, all right? They were like, no, you got to give me some more. And so James has raised the stakes in this sequel, and that's why we're calling it Do Part 2. The first time he tells us to do, he just says, if we don't do this, it's like looking at ourselves in the mirror and then walking out and forgetting what we look like. And we said, that's silly. I know what I look like. I remember it. But he's just using it as this extreme example. Then he raises the stakes and says, let me tell you what. If you claim to follow Jesus and you don't do anything to help other people, it is a dead faith. Whoa! James just raised the stakes. He's like, I'll go one further. It's not just like looking at your face in the mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like. If you are saying that you follow Jesus, but you are not willing to do for other people or help other people out, that is a dead faith. And that brings us to our second question, which is always, so what? Why is this important? Because if we say we're following Jesus, but it isn't benefiting other people, then it is a dead faith. If we say that we are following Jesus, but there are people who don't even get it, like they're like, oh, Kevin follows Jesus? Well, I wouldn't know that by what he does and how he talks and how he lives. And that's news to me. How long has he been following Jesus? Since he's 15? Oh, man. That's brand new information for me. So if we say we are following Jesus, and then we're all good in church, and then we step out, and then there's nothing about our lives that show that we are blessing other people or that we are doing for others, then James says this is a dead faith. That's why it's so what? That's why this is important. He uses this example of if you see somebody without food or clothing. Now, we're just like, that's messed up. That was a big issue back then. When James first wrote this, they were going through a famine. A lot of people didn't have food. A lot of people didn't have enough money to buy clothing. So you just had like whatever like raggedy article of clothing that you wore. Remember last night we talked about if somebody came into church and they were dressed fancy, they got the best seat. And if somebody was dressed like a bum, then you had to go to the back. This is a big important issue back then. So if you see somebody and they've got no clothing or like raggedy clothing and they're hungry and you're just like, have a good day. I hope you're nice and warm all day and you got a full belly, but you don't do anything about it. You don't bother to offer this person clothing. You don't bother to offer this person food. James says that's dead faith. That's a problem. It's kind of like this next slide here. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like we see that somebody needs help with something, and we have all of these options here that tell us to do something. And if I push this button, I'm helping this person out. Or this button is going to help them. Or this is going to help them. And instead, we do this. We hit the thoughts and prayers. We hit the thoughts and prayers button. We're like, man, that sucks. Hope it gets better for you tomorrow. But we don't do anything about it. We don't bother to help somebody out. So when I see, if I see that somebody is in need of something, and I'm just like, best of luck, man, and then move on, James is like, Bro, can you claim to be following Jesus if you're not? If you don't have the ability and the opportunity to help somebody, man, that's dead faith, man. That's dead faith. Now I realize this is really like harsh. Like, man, we were like having fun watching people drink dirty water and do the church clap dance and have fun, and now you're like getting real serious with us here. Okay. Maybe here's like a sillier example of us having the ability to help somebody in their need and we don't. Here's a silly video. If we have the opportunity that somebody is thirsty and we have the opportunity to give them water and we don't do it, we're like the dude with the full canteen who like has enough to give everybody and just like, just throw it down on the ground kind of a thing. There was an old saying back in the time of Jesus that said, if you had two coats, now keep in mind, this was a different time that people lived in. But there was a saying that said, if you had two coats, you stole one from somebody else. And what that meant was, there was probably somebody else out there who needed a coat to stay warm. And if you have two, you don't need to wear two coats. Give that coat to somebody else. Now, I realize we live in a different time where we got two or three different coats and all that stuff. But think of it in terms, if you have the ability to help someone in their need and you don't, then man, we're not taking God at His word seriously, and it's a dead faith. So maybe a couple more visuals here before we wrap up here. Let's think of it this way. Here's a picture to think of it. So think of it as like a cycle that we get in. So I start up here by my believing in Jesus. I start by my believing in Jesus. You have a question? Yeah, it would just kind of keep going. So in the same way that we can get in a good routine, to think of it this way, to say, okay, I believe in Jesus. All right, so is my belief in Jesus stirring me in my spirit to do deeds for Jesus, to do things for other people, to help others in their need. And so when I help other people in their need because I believe in Jesus, what that's going to do is it's going to strengthen my belief in Jesus. And now I'm back up here at the top. Like, wow, I really, wow, Jesus, that was great. You stirred me in my heart to help this person, and I did that, and I saw your power at work. And now that makes me believe in you even more. And then I'm going to go out and help somebody else. And it just stays in that cycle. And that's kind of what James is telling us to do. I believe in Jesus. It stirs me to action. It strengthens my belief in Jesus. It causes me to do more. It makes my belief in Jesus even stronger. And I keep doing that, and I keep repeating that over and over and over. How about an internet-based meme that is another way of to think of it? How about this? All right. We'll go silly with it, all right? Think of it this way. Believing in Jesus, doing good for others, and James says that's complete faith. That's complete faith. Meaning you're doing the whole thing when you're doing that. You're not just believing in Jesus. You're not just doing good deeds. You're doing both. That's the whole package is what James says. We got to do both of them. So if you say that you are following Jesus, after a full week of camp, it's super easy to follow Jesus. But what happens when you go back to wherever you live in Indiana or Illinois or Ohio or the other side of the world or back to Northern Kentucky or any of those places and mom asks for help with something? And you're just like, thoughts and prayers, mom. Good luck with that laundry. Thoughts and prayers, dad. Good luck with the trash. Good luck with the lawn. Thoughts and prayers. And you have the ability to help, and you don't do that. James is like, no bueno, man. Not good. Not good. So, if you have the ability to help or do, then do that. Which brings us always to question three, which is what?
Now
what? What do I do with it? Now what? What do I do with it? Okay, worship team, we got one more song, right, to close out with. Is that right? You guys can come up whenever you're ready. So the now what? I've got this statement written down here. And this is, I want you guys to turn this into a prayer. Whether that's right now as you're writing this down, that you are praying this in your spirit, or if you pray this later, or you pray this on the way home, or you pray this the rest of the week. This needs to be your prayer based on what we read out of James. Jesus, show me where my faith in you can become action. Jesus, show me where my faith in you can become action. And here's the thing, gang. I want you to ask Jesus this question. I want you to pray this prayer to Jesus and then just be ready. When he speaks to your heart, when he speaks to your spirit about the thing that he wants you to do. And it may not be something you're super jazzed about doing, but he wants you to do that because he wants to grow that faith that's inside of you. He wants to strengthen that faith that's inside of you. So I'm going to pray, and then our team is going to close us in a song that's saying, Jesus, you are the king of my heart. And guess what? If Jesus is the king of my heart, who tells people what to do? The king. And if Jesus is the king of my heart, what Jesus says goes. So keep that in mind when we say it, when we sing this. If Jesus is king, then what he says goes. So let me pray for us, and then we'll close out with this final song.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.